This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
There's lots of great options available again after a high-scoring week of FPL. Handballs and VAR had plenty to say, and Ademola Lookman took the penalty from hell. Vardy missed, and shockingly so did KDB. Penalty saves for Patricio and Fab. Villa got back to winning ways, Bruno Fernandes turned United from drab, and Slabhead actually had a good game, while City and Liverpool finished even. Southampton were top of the Premier League in the strangest of strangest old seasons. Welcome to the 60th episode of Triple Captain.
Very good. The FPL bard is
Slabhead. I was trying not to laugh saying Slabhead. I love it. I love it. I love your poems each week.
What rhymes with drab? I was like, slab. Slabhead. Welcome everybody. We are Triple Captain. We're an FPL podcast with the aim of getting you to the top of your mini league. I am Luke Jurdy. I'm at Luke Jurdy on Twitter and Instagram, and we are at Triple Captain 3 on all social media. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Rich Wolfenden.
Yes.
Hi, Rich.
Hiya, mate. Yes, my name's Rich, Radio X presenter, TalkSport commentator, and slowly but surely climbing the FPL ranks. Another green arrow for me this week. Pretty happy with that. But before we get into that, Luke, do you want to tell us about our special guest?
Yes. So we are joined. I think is this our first guest of the season?
Second, we had Toby on.
We've kept it quite insular.
You always forget Toby Tarrant.
I always forget Toby.
He's going to be gutted when he hears that.
Toby, I'm so sorry. And that was such a good episode as well with Toby, wasn't it? So we are joined by a good friend of mine. It's Jason Finnegan. He's been playing FPL for about 10 years. He takes it very seriously, like we do, of course. And he started the season off very, very well indeed. I think he's third in our Triple Captain mini league. He's first in a couple of the other mini leagues that I'm in with him. We always banter each other every week. How you doing, Jay? Nice to have you on, mate.
I'm doing very well. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. It's a privilege to be on the show. I listen to it regularly. So I'm doing very well. I've had a good start to the season, but I think as the weeks have gone on, you guys are slowly catching on me, and I'm getting a little bit nervous. So, I've started off okay.
Yeah. So, and where are you? You're like 86k, is it?
86k at the moment. Yeah. There was a point, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I think it was like 28,000 or 30,000.
Did you have Pulisic in your team that week where he was due to start and then got injured in the warm-up?
Yes, I did. And I also had Sace for Wolves, which nobody expected because obviously he got dropped.
Oh, yeah.
And who else did I have? I had Foden, who didn't start. And I think he got me 1 point. So honestly, that week, I had a horrendous week. But the only transfer, so the other transfer that I put in was Kurt Zouma, who managed to get me lots of points. And not many people, if any, had him in that week.
Yeah.
So he absolutely saved me and kept me afloat at the top.
My God, Kurt Zouma's been like the unsung hero this season, hasn't he? I don't think anybody predicted he was going to be the top scoring defender in FPL at this point.
Yeah, he's done really well. Do you know what it was? Chelsea been keeping clean sheets the last 2-3 weeks before that. And I was thinking, do you know what? I think if anyone's going to score, it's going to be Zouma. And funny enough, he did. So, yeah, tactical genius. I don't care what anyone's saying.
See, that's the thing with Jay. Like, he always messages me. He's like, oh, I've gone a bit left field and I've put this person in or this person in. And I always think he's gone for the differentials. And more often than not, like the Zouma move, it works out for him. So fair play for that. I think you're a bit more of a risk taker than I am.
I am. And some weeks it pays off, some weeks it doesn't. Like the whole Pulisic. Because I had him in, funny enough, I'm just looking at my first team of the first week. So I had McCarthy in goal, I had Davis for Tottenham, didn't give me many points. Yeah, Pulisic, I had him in and he didn't start at all. And I have to say, Luke, like the first week we discussed, I had my team absolute set in stone, ready to go. And an hour before kickoff, I thought, let me just listen to this podcast. So I had a little listen and you were discussing Calvin Lewin and I had him in my team for my first week. And Luke was... He was saying, yeah, I mean, he's done well last year, but I just don't think he's got many points in him this year and his value isn't, you know, that worthwhile.
Sounds like Luke.
And he's not really scored many goals. And I was looking at him, I'm thinking, yeah, do you know what? Maybe Luke's right. So I took him out and I think I put in... Who did I put in? I put in Kane. He only got me 2 points.
Oh, well, as an early, as a start of the season move, Kane scored more points than Calvert-Lewin now. So
he has. It's true.
But no, I'd have never have predicted the start that Calvert-Lewin's had. I mean, never have predicted that. No one did they really? I mean,
no, it was, absolutely not.
He has been really good, and we'll talk about him a bit later on. So we're basically, in terms of structure of the show, we're going to do our usual game week review, go through our team, see what points we got. Then we're going to talk high ownership. Rich has got some concerns about high ownership. So we're going to talk about that. Go on, Rich.
Basically, I've only got about two or three players who are owned by a small minority. The rest of my players seem to be owned by like 25% plus. So I just don't think that's given me the gains that I want to get. Like, I keep getting a high score, not every week, but when I do get a high score, I'm not going up the rank as much as I'd like. So I think that might be down to my high ownership team.
Yeah, we'll discuss that. How important are differentials to have in your team and high ownership? And I have activated my wild card. Ooh. So we're also
I love it.
We're also going to be talking about that. I'll explain why I've activated the wild card, how I approach playing my wild card, and my most wanted list as well. So obviously we'll get the thoughts of Jason as well, who is currently highest rank out of all of us at the moment. So listen to him. So should we start with you, Jay? And Ben, did you want to ask Jay about what he does first? We haven't actually said that, have we?
Yeah, just because obviously, Jason, you've got a link to the sporting world, so I'm not surprised that you're smashing us left, right and centre in terms of overall rank. I mean, what is it that you do, just for our listeners?
So I'm a talent agent. I predominantly work with sports people, ex-footballers and whatnot. So yeah, people like Sean Wright Phillips, Sol Campbell, Chris Samba, Amir Khan. So these kind of people that I work with. But yeah, I have to say, I did actually ask them all, do you play fantasy football? And whether or not they're telling the truth, I don't know, but they don't actually play. So I'm not getting any insights, unfortunately. There's been actually a few times where I've actually texted Sean saying, have you got any inside goss about the Man City lineup? Which could be deemed as cheating, but I have to say, he hasn't pulled through.
Wait, that's not deemed as cheating. When there was a chance that I might have got early access to the Everton lineup last season, Luke was like, Rich, it's 5 minutes to the deadline. Where's the team news? Where's the team news?
It was like angel and devil. I was going, this isn't the right way to play the game, guys.
Yeah, we had that whole thing last season, didn't we, about early team news? Because there was a few accounts on Twitter that would reveal the team news before the deadline. Obviously, FPL have pushed the deadline back now to an hour and a half before kickoff. So we just don't have that problem anymore, which I think is great, because otherwise you end up sneaking off to the toilet during a roast dinner to find out the early team news.
It is fair, to be honest. It is fair.
But yeah, I think Jason's job does help with FPL. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, but honestly, Jay is such a wheeler dealer, not in a Del Boy kind of way, but he's so good at negotiating people and getting good deals for people. And I think that's got to stand you in good stead for buying, selling players in FPL and picking the right options. And what do you think, Jay? Do you think it helps?
Do you know what? I think you're absolutely right in some situations. Even, like I was saying to you beforehand, at the beginning of the season, I normally kind of pick my team, and then after about 3 weeks in or 4 weeks in, that's when I choose to do my wildcard. And I've done that probably for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's been quite effective. Now, when you do that, obviously you can gauge where the players are at, what points they're getting, and also you can get them when they're quite cheap before they kind of obviously grow in price. So I think my team's overall value now, I was looking at last night, I think it's like 103.2 million. So I've actually gained over three million. So with that, with the extra kind of 3 million, it gives you a bit of leverage to get the other top players in.
I love the idea of Jay being on the phone to official FPL being like, you know, guys, do you reckon it's time to drop Rodriguez's price? I think it's probably about time.
Well, that's what I did, funny enough, 2 weeks ago when he got injured, and he's actually reduced in value now.
Yeah, I'll buy him in, but you've got to drop him by point one. You've got to drop him by point one. good. So should we have a little look at how we did this game week then? How did you do? Let's start with Ben. Ben, how did you do this game week, mate?
Happy to report, better than I've done in previous game weeks. It's actually a green arrow, 63 points. And you know what? I've tried to, because Jason, a bit like you, I like taking a gamble. I've taken a few too many, this season, and it's really harmed my overall rank, which I'm not going to say what it is on the podcast because it is embarrassing.
Ben, sorry, just to cut in there. Wasn't it last week that you take in two transfers, so you got minus 8 points? Was that you?
Yeah, I do that quite a lot, but I've decided I'm going to stop that as a tactic now because it's really not done me very well at all. But no, actually, I think overall, I've got starting players in my team now, people who are definitely confirmed to be on the starting lineup, and that's helped me out. So, you know, Barkley got me 7 points this week, Salah 9, Rashford 5, Kane finally got the captain's armband right after my little rant last week.
Oh yeah, we all did, didn't we? We all captained Kane, didn't we?
Yeah, I think the only thing I'm slightly disappointed about is, Rich, you texted into our WhatsApp group, mate, why are you starting Martinez for Villa over Patricio? I just thought, because I knew Leicester are on one, I really didn't think that Wolves would keep the clean sheet. And I had a feeling that Villa, against Arsenal, how Arsenal are playing at the moment, I'm a Villa fan, Jason, so, you know, I definitely bring in personal feelings and passion into FPL play, which I know you shouldn't do. But then, I mean, who would have thought that Patricio, you know, I've got, Martinez did keep his clean sheet for 6 points, but I've got Patricio on the bench with 10 because of that penalty save. But I'd say that's the only mistake I made this week. And for the first time ever, well, not ever, this season, I've kept a transfer. So after this international break, I've got two free transfers to play with. So I'm kind of chuffed about that.
Very good. Do you want me to go through my team? So, Harry's big night out, a good week for them. I think this is the fourth week on the trot I've had a green arrow now. So, it's good to see, slowly but surely, climbing the table after I dropped a million places or whatever it was a few weeks back. Up to 770,000 now, so still far off where I want to finish, but there's plenty of time to improve on that. 68 points I got for this game week. I brought in Balbuena, the West Ham defender. And Che Adams, because of Danny Ings' injury, brought in Balbuena. West Ham got the clean sheet, which was very nice to see. Didn't expect that at all. Well, I kind of did because they were playing Fulham, but you know what? It was a good transfer. Che Adams came in. He got me 7 points. Absolutely buzzing with that. Kane captained him, 18 points. Calvert-Lewin got a dubious assist against Manchester United. It looked like it came off Maguire's head. We won't talk about that. Grealish delivered for me. Zaha delivered for me. Martinez delivered for me, and then yeah, everybody else seemed to have just done all right. I mean, I felt sorry for Kilman conceding a penalty for getting the ball booted at his arm from a yard away, and I had him in my team, and I had Charlie Taylor on the bench. You got an 8 for Burnley in that terrible, terrible first game of the weekend. But yeah, pretty solid week, although I do think Son Heung-min's head is on the chopping block because he didn't get too involved in that last game. That was the other side of the Tottenham coin, I think, that we saw at the weekend, scraping that win against West Brom. So yeah, maybe the Son Kane bandwagon is over now, I think. How did you get on, Luke?
Yeah, quite possibly. So I did pretty well this week. I got 74 points.
Very nice.
Which I was really, really happy with. I mean, it all just went really well, apart from, obviously, the usual suspects, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, who got two each. I've finally got rid of TAA and on wild card, but we'll talk about that. Matty Ryan finally got a clean sheet, a great leaving gift for me there. So thanks, Matt Ryan, for finally getting 6 points. James Justin just continues to get points, another 6, and I think he was so unlucky. He won the penalty that Vardy missed, so that would have been an assist and possible bonus. He nearly got an assist for Harvey Barnes as well. I'm really impressed with James Justin, and I think he was playing on the left.
He started on the right and then got moved to the left. Yeah,
yeah. So it'll be interesting when Pereira does come back, if Justin shifts to the left, or if he just leaves the team completely, because obviously Pereira is very, very good. So it'd be interesting to keep an eye on that. And obviously they've got Castagne, but if he's still injured, will Justin just be moved to the left back, I wonder? But I'm keeping him for now. And Kyle Walker-Peters with a lovely 9 points. Not sure how he managed to get 3 bonus.
I was like, how on earth has he done that? Che Adams was unbelievable. He got a goal and, you know, they absolutely dominated their game. But Kyle Walker-Peters,
yeah,
I don't know how. 3 points. I get they got the clean sheet, but they don't want to get into it.
Yeah. And encouragingly as well, he was nicely up the pitch, attacking. He looks like great value this season at 4.5 million. He's been in my team since the start. And Bruno Fernandes, absolute hero, came through, and he completely dominated that game.
Well, I mean, he scored a cross.
He scored a cross, but it would have been an assist if Rashford had got a touch. His headed goal was fantastic. His assist for Cavani was fantastic. He absolutely ran the show and he dragged United up and saved Ole Solskjaer again. And I think you've got to get him in your team after that performance. He was so good, I thought. Sorry, Rich. 3-1. 3-1.
We won't talk about it. We won't talk about it. It's fine.
Salah scored his customary goal, of course, and I captained Kane, so that 87th minute goal from Kane was very welcome. And then Wilson and Son blanked, and Bukayo Saka, who I brought in for Trezeguet, scored an own goal hilariously. I mean, I was watching the highlights and it looked like Trezeguet had scored and I couldn't believe it. I was like, on the week I take him out. And then it was like, oh no, he hasn't scored. It's a Saka own goal. So it's like, brilliant. So Saka got 0, but 74 points got me a nice rank rise right up to 193k. So I'm back in that 200k. And I've activated the wild card.
Oh, tasty.
What about you? What about you, Jay?
So, yeah, you've done really well, actually, Luke, to be honest with you. So I got 60 points, but I took minus 4 points. So I had a bit of a dilemma, because obviously with Sace, I knew he wasn't going to start. And Foden as well, I had, and Pulisic. So I had three players. Pulisic is obviously injured. So I was kind of debating whether to do what Ben did a few weeks ago and getting minus 8 points. Now, I absolutely hate doing minus points, even if it's minus 4. So it killed me to do minus 4, but I simply had to do it. But luckily, it kind of paid off because I had Koufal for West Ham, who got me 8 points. Obviously, he kept a clean sheet. Very, very lucky at the end. I must have met with the Lookman penalty. Ridiculous penalty, which we'll probably talk about in a bit. And who did I put? I'll put Zaha instead of Pulisic. So I plan on keeping Zaha for a while. But I'm planning to take Foden out because with City, he's just too, you know, Pep just tinkers too much. So, yeah, I was happy with my team. With Kane, I had him as captain. It was either him or Son. Thank goodness I went for Kane in the end. But this season, funny enough, I mean, I've got my captain choices right on a few occasions, but I always text Luke saying, do you know what? I can't seem to get my captain choice right. Like, I've had it about 3 or 4 times this season where it's like, oh my God, I've missed out on like 20 points because I chose the wrong captain. But luckily this week, I went for Kane, which quite a few people did actually. And he came up top trumps for me. So, yeah, 60 points, which I was reasonably happy with, to be honest with you.
Yeah, who do you support, Jason?
I support West Ham.
You're a West Ham fan? All right, okay, interesting. First West Ham fan we've had on the season.
You know, I'd love to talk to you a bit about West Ham, actually, because I need to basically shore up my defence a bit. And West Ham, with the fixtures they've got coming up, Sheffield United, Villa, Man United, Leeds, Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
A few wins in there.
It's not a bad little run for them, is it? Like, how are you feeling about West Ham?
Do you know what? I'm actually feeling really positive. At the beginning of the season, we got a lot of slack at the beginning of our fixtures because the fixtures we had, I mean, if you look on paper, they were absolutely horrendous. So we've done really, really well to get to where we are, to be honest with you. So the fixtures ahead, yeah, I'm feeling quite confident, to be honest with you.
Do you not worry about where goals are going to come from now that Antonio's got a knock?
Well, I think he's coming back in about 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks time. But we're actually getting quite a few other areas, like Bowen's very attacking, Yamalenko. So we've got a few attacking options. But yeah, Antonio's like the heartbeat of our team. He's absolutely brilliant. So it was a big miss for him.
And who would you put in, Jay, out of the defence? Would you choose Koufal over Cresswell and Masuaku?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I was looking at that last week, and that's what I went for Koufal in the end, purely because he's had 2 assists this season, really cheap value, 4.5 million. I was looking at McCarthy as well. He had a slight knock, I think, last week. So that kind of swayed it for me. Yeah, but McCarthy could be a really good shout. With Masuaku as well, he tends to kind of dip off foot. He's very hot and cold. Some weeks you look at him and think, oh my God, he's an absolute worldie of a left back. And then next week he's just gifts kind of mistakes. So it's quite frustrating being a West Ham fan, to be honest with you. But Koufal seems to be solid.
Yeah, that Masuaku's one of those fullbacks, isn't he? Like, he looks unbelievable going forward, but defensively looks dreadful. Like, I did the Wolves game at the weekend, and that Ryan Aitnouri, the new boy they brought in who scored in the last game week, he was so bad. In the game against Leicester at the weekend, he was getting absolutely torn to shreds down that Leicester right-hand side. But yeah, I think they're the players who you kind of want in your FPL team because you're bringing players in to get assists and goals, aren't you, rather than clean sheets.
You know what, Luke, question back at you for United, because I think in terms of fixture run, defensively, United have got quite a good one now. They've got West Brom, Southampton, West Ham, Man City, you can only ever score one goal a game anyway, and Sheffield United. I mean, from that kind of, from the back line, sorry, for United, who would you be picking?
Question, though.
Sorry, I know that we weren't, defenders wasn't one of our talking points, but it's me using the podcast for personal gain because those are the moves that I need to make this week.
Yeah, no, and I think it would be good actually as well, because I was just thinking then whether to keep Walker Peters for I know I just waxed lyrical about him, but Southampton have arguably got tougher fixtures than West Ham. I'm wondering if Koufal might be a better option than Walker Peters for my wild card. But in terms of United, I'd definitely still avoid all defensive options. I mean, bizarrely, Luke Shaw suddenly learned to cross, which is very odd to see. He's got two assists in his last two games, and funnily enough, he's got Alex Telles breathing down his neck. I think Telles could be a good option, but obviously he's got to start. He's had COVID, so he's got to start a few games. But out of anybody, I'd say if you were gonna put a United defender in, I'd maybe put in Telles. What I saw of him against PSG is that he has got a wand of a left foot. But I also think if we're talking about defenders, there's loads of great options of fullbacks at the moment, I think. I mean, I thought Reguilón of Spurs looked really good. He was basically their only good player against West Brom. Obviously, we've talked about Koufal. I also think, yeah, Masuaku may be a bit hot and cold, but also a good option at 4.5. Walker Peters, we've spoken about. Semedo at Wolves, I think, looks
great.
Like a decent option. You've got Bellerin at Arsenal. There's lots of good... Chilwell, of course. We need to talk about Chilwell as well. I've already brought him in for TAA before his price rise, because I think, when have we seen a fullback get in the box and take that many shots as Chilwell? He looks like he's going to score every game, doesn't he?
He's Leighton Baines, like, re-embodied in like a new young English defender. Yeah. It's so strange. He's even got like the slick back hair as well. It's mad. I'm like, really big fan of Chilwell. He didn't really do it too much for Leicester last season, but at Chelsea, he just seems to be even more attacking.
I was going to say, I agree. I was looking at Chilwell, to be honest with you, and I looked at his assists and goals last year at Leicester, and he didn't really seem to come up with many points. But at Chelsea, obviously the way they play, it's obviously suiting him. So I was actually looking at him, to be honest with you, because is he 5.9 or has he just risen up now? Is he 6?
Just gone up to 6. Yeah.
So I was looking at him also. That's a good shout. That's a very good shout.
I think he's a great option, and obviously he's outscored TAA massively. I mean, he's only played 5 games, and he's got 41 points from 5 games. That's like 8 points a game for a left back. And and you know, sometimes you look at stuff like that, like for instance with centre backs like Zouma. I know you brought Zouma in, Jay, but I think with centre backs you might get a few goals in a row, everyone will bring them in, and then you're relying on clean sheets, because obviously for centre backs they're not going to score as many goals or get as many assists, but obviously Zouma is cheaper, so you've got that kind of that dilemma in your head of attacking points. But with Chilwell, I think he passes everything. I mean, he passes the eye test massively. He's not just doing well in the stats. If you watch the games, he looks so attacking. And it's almost like what's happened to Matt Doherty at Wolves in reverse. So Matt Doherty's gone to Spurs and it's completely ruined his attacking output, whereas Chilwell's gone to Chelsea and it's improved it massively, hasn't it? I mean, the fact that you've got a fullback that's taking that many shots and getting in that many good areas and wants to score goals is gold, isn't it? It's like Marcus Alonso a few seasons ago.
Yeah, he really is. He's so exciting. I'm just looking at the options now, and I've got Robertson just sat there in my back line. I've got my one free transfer this week, and it's so easy to move from Robertson to Chilwell and then get an extra 1.1 million I'd have in the bank.
Chelsea fixtures aren't great though, are they?
They're not, but the thing is, quite often with players like this, I would exercise caution. I go, well, they're on a good run, but he's only done it for 5 games. You know, it's a small sample size. But from watching Chelsea, he looks like he's involved in everything. He looks really, really good. And he's becoming rapidly, again, I'm speaking like very early on in this, because he is only 5 games into his Chelsea career, but he is rapidly becoming like TAA and Robbo were last season, that even if they don't get clean sheets, he's likely to get attacking points.
And I think as well with form this season, like, it's not necessarily a thing at this point yet, because nobody in the Premier League has been particularly brilliant. Like, so they've got Tottenham at home in a couple of weeks. Like, who knows what Tottenham's going to turn up there. And then they've got Newcastle away. It could be an absolutely brilliant Newcastle performance and they could wipe the floor with Chelsea. You just don't know who's going to turn up. But again, he would be another high ownership player for me, so I'll probably have to avoid him, which is kind of frustrating.
You know who I'm excited about and could be a little cheeky option?
Is it a Villa player?
Is it Matt Target?
No, it's not. It's 0.5 selected because he's had a few injury troubles at the start of the season. But with a nice few fixtures coming up, he's back in. Obviously, they battered Dirty Leeds, which is always wonderful.
Yeah.
But Patrick Van Aanholt, everyone's favourite racist slayer on Twitter, is back. And I have to say, the next few fixtures for Van Aanholt, 0.5% selected, Burnley, Newcastle, West Brom. Then they've got Spurs, West Ham, Liverpool. It's a good couple of games. And obviously, you know, we know that Crystal Palace can be very tight at the back.
Yeah, could be a shout. Mitchell's injured as well. So, I mean, not that there's going to be any competition between them two, but he's almost nailed on to start every game now, Van Aanholt.
I have to say, I've put him in myself. I've done a free hit this week. Tactically, do you know what? I didn't want to, and I work in a way where I work 3 or 4 weeks in ahead. So I look at fixtures and I think, right, he's going to be good for this week, but it's more about playing him in 3 or 4 weeks' time. So that's what I've kind of done. And I did that with Pulisic, and I'll keep going about Pulisic, but I'm quite scarred by it, to be honest with you. He messed up absolutely everything for me. And I think I've done okay so far, but I could have really kicked on. So now I've had to kind of lose points and rejig my team a little bit. But the plan this week, so I've done a free hit, and I've actually got it's either going to work out really well or horrendously bad, but I've got two Crystal Palace defenders and their keeper. So I'm just going to go for it this week, which allows me then the following week to have my transfers. But this is where I'm at the moment, because I'm slowly kind of phasing out my Wolves players because I don't really like their fixtures ahead. And I'm going to slowly start putting in Leicester players because I really like their fixtures. Obviously, they've got Liverpool next week, which it doesn't matter because I've got my free hit. And then I'm just looking now. They've got Fulham at home. They've got Sheffield United away, Brighton at home, Everton at home, Spurs away, and Man United at home. And then Crystal Palace away. So it was either them or Man City, because Man City's got some really, well, on paper, quite easy fixtures ahead with Burnley and Fulham and West Brom and whatnot. But the thing is with City, you just, like I said earlier, you just never know with Pep. You think someone's going to be an absolute dead cert to play, someone like Sterling or someone, and he just benches him. And that happened to me so many times last season.
And who would have thought at the weekend Jesus would be the hero for Manchester City? I don't think anyone predicted that.
Exactly. I didn't even think his start.
So what's the thinking behind the free hit this week, Jay? Because obviously with a free hit, people tend to, the perceived wisdom is you tend to save it for, you know, blank game weeks, double game weeks, which will come later on in the season. Why have you decided to play that this time?
The reason being is because I don't like taking minus points as one of the main points, because I would have to, my current team at the moment, I don't like the fixtures for next week. And I think with what I've done here, I think the way I've got my free hit, it's relatively easy fixtures. Someone like Fernandes, I've got as captain this coming week. Man United, obviously playing West Brom at home. I've got Rashford in there. I've gone for the Palace players. I've got Dean for Everton because they're playing Fulham away, and Calvin Lewin. So, yeah, I was thinking after Christmas, Luke, but also what I wanted to do now, I wanted to get it over and done with now. So I can do my, because we've got another wild card after Christmas, haven't we? So that's my plan, to just hang in there at the moment and kind of phase away my Wolves players, like I've said, and then bring in the Leicesters. And then hopefully after Christmas, then I might kind of look at doing a wild card. And then I just want to keep a consistent team, really, with only the odd one or two transfers. Because at the moment, I think, like I said, I've done relatively okay, but I'm just hanging on by an absolute thread at the moment, and I'm not liking a few of my fixtures ahead. So I've had to act, and I've had to act quickly, so we'll see. It'd either be tactical genius next week, like I said, or after the international break, or it'd just be an absolute disaster, and I'd just be looking at it and thinking, what have I done? So we'll see.
Can we talk about Leicester? Because obviously they had a great start to the season. I mean, they had two nice, easy fixtures. They battered West Brom 3-0, then Burnley 4-2. Then, of course, in the game week three, they played Man City 5-2 to Leicester. Then our teams, Jason, stepped in and went, hang on, Jamie, chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, Vardy was injured, wasn't he? He was out for a few weeks. And then West Ham beat Leicester 3-0, Villa beat him 1-0. But the last three fixtures, they've got three wins against Arsenal, Leeds and Wolves. They're also playing European fixtures and doing pretty well. What do we think of Leicester? Are they the on the way back up again? You know, should we be following Jason and bringing them all back in? Because fixture-wise, they have got Liverpool. But, you know, again, Liverpool haven't been particularly good at the back. Then they've got, as Jason said, Fulham, Sheffield United, Brighton, Everton. You know, there's a couple of decent fixtures in there for them.
Yeah, I think, like, historically, both Liverpool and Leicester like to play, like, a high-press, high-intensity game. So it's going to be really interesting to see what that game comes out like. But Jamie Vardy, I mean, we've said it week in, week out on this podcast that he is Mr. Reliable when it comes to FPL. And even though he's playing Liverpool, you know, he's proven in the past that he's the man for big games. And, you know, you could get him in for that fixture. And then after that, I don't think their fixtures are too bad. I don't think Leicester. But I think for now, you've just got to get Leicester and Chelsea players in your team for clean sheets, for attacking returns. Like, they seem to just be offering it all. And like at Chelsea, you've got Chilwell, you've got Ziyech coming through now as well. Madison was unbelievable for Leicester at the weekend, and he's so low in ownership, and he's only 7 million this season. I did the Leicester game of the weekend for TalkSport, and since he signed for Leicester, only Kevin De Bruyne has made more chances in the Premier League than James Madison. And he's coming back into this Leicester side now. Yeah. So I'm seriously considering getting Madison in.
And also their defence as well. As Luke said, with Justin, he's just been so consistent. I'm in a mar in whether to put him in, purely because I know over the coming weeks, I think Pereira's coming back and Castagna as well. He's coming back. But I'm looking at Fofana. Is it Fofana, the centre-back?
He looks really good. He's a ball-playing defender.
He is, yeah. And he's I think he's only about 4.9 or 5 million. But he's another person that I've been looking at. But exactly what you said. I just think with Leicester, you've got someone like Jamie Vardy, who's absolutely consistent. Even when they won the league, it was like people were thinking, well, they're not going to do it this week and Vardy's not going to score. And he did. He's been absolutely consistent for the last four or five
seasons. Yeah, I think he's seasons. 33 or something now. Still absolutely banging, and he's still got that electric pace. And I mean, I've honestly got no idea how the game against Liverpool is going to turn out, because it's at Anfield, isn't it, I think? So you'd expect Liverpool to be on the front foot.
There's going to be goals.
Which just makes it perfect for Jamie Vardy running behind. Jamie Vardy running against Joe Gomez and James Milner. You know, you'd fancy Vardy any day there, wouldn't you?
I mean, the only thing that kind of makes me a bit question Leicester is that midfield. You said Madison, but then Madison is always a disappointment FPL wise. You know, he's involved and he's a great player, but then he just never seems to be able to finish at the crucial moments. I mean, Harvey Barnes had that miss at the weekend, didn't he? Which should have been top bin. And defensively, they're a bit all over the place, and we're expecting people to come back, and they're not quite there yet. Is Jamie Vardy the only option from Leicester, or should we be looking at other people?
I was looking at Harvey Barnes, but I don't think he started.
No, he's dropped
for
Madison.
I think he was on
the
bench.
Yeah, he's a bit. Barnes is a rotation risk. I think there's a lot better options out there in midfield than Leicester at the moment. I think Grealish is a much better option than Madison and Barnes. I think Zaha's a better option. I think ZX a better option. I think around that price point, that there are better options than Leicester midfielders. As I say, I wouldn't be bringing James Justin in right now because of the return of Pereira eventually. But I'm certainly going to keep James Justin. I think he was great. And they're doing well, aren't they? They restricted Wolves to two shots on target. Wolves aren't great in an attacking sense anyway, are they? But Leicester seem... I'd be looking... Jamie Vardy's going to be the one, isn't he, really? And I suppose what I'm looking at as well, really, for wildcard is who's going to score more over the next five fixtures. I mean, let's answer this. Over the next five games, is Vardy going to score more than Kane?
Yes.
You think? Definitely? Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Just fixture-wise, I think definitely. Like, Spurs have actually got a tough run now. They've got Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Crystal Palace, Liverpool, Leicester, Wolves. You know, that takes to Boxing Day.
Yeah.
That's a tough run to Boxing
Day. That'll be hard defensively for Spurs, but I don't think that's going to impact Harry Kane's game whatsoever. He got his 150th Premier League goal at the weekend. He's just an absolute machine. He could genuinely overtake Alan Shearer one day.
Who do you want to captain, though, if you had both?
That's a tough one.
Yeah, Vardy, but it's an interesting one with Kane, isn't it? Because you think, well, yeah, Spurs' fixtures are tough, but they're not going to not score in those fixtures. They're not going to, you know, it's not going to be like zero goals. And if they score, it's probably going to be Harry Kane, isn't it? I mean, he loves a goal against Arsenal. Chelsea have tightened up at the back, but if anybody's going to score against Chelsea, you'd expect it to be Harry Kane. It's a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, over those fixtures, you'd maybe say that Vardy will outscore him, but then it's a risk getting rid of Kane, isn't it? I mean, the thing with Spurs, I think what's happened is, after that 3-3 result against West Ham, I think Mourinho's gone back to Mourinho, and he's really tightened them up at the back, and he's going for these 1-0 wins, and as a result, they're just not as threatening at all. I mean, that game against West Brom was really, really poor, wasn't it? I don't know if you saw it, but
Kane's first attempt on target was his goal in like the second to last minute.
That's what I mean, and he was a bit lucky really to score his goal. But as it's Kane, so there's always going to be that threat. But I am a little bit worried about Spurs going forward. And for me on the wild card, it's going to be a case of I'm probably going to keep one of Son or Kane, just because they're still the top scoring players in FPL, and I still expect them to get goals, particularly against the bigger teams. You know, they're still going to score goals, I think. So it's going to be deciding who to keep in out of those two.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, you've got someone like Son and Kane who, I mean, look at their price value. I'm just purely looking at their value again. They've gone all the way up. So if you take them out now, then obviously you lose that.
You lose the value.
You lose the value, but someone like Kane, no matter who they're facing or who their fixtures are, he's always going to score. He's always going to score goals. Premium players like Kane, Vardy, Salah, year after year, they're going to get you 15, 20 goals a season.
Does this lead us nicely on to Rich in ownership? Because, you know, Vardy at the moment is 21% selected. Kane's double that. Does that make a difference?
Well, this is why you're asking, I suppose, Rich, isn't it? Because you were thinking that because a lot of your players are quite highly owned, you're thinking that if they all do well, you're not as likely to get a bigger rank rise. Is that right?
Yeah, so that's the issue. So if I look at my team now, got Martinez in goal. He's owned by 27%. I've got Robertson in defence. He's 18%. Salah, 47%. Son, 59%. Zaha, 30%. Wow. Grealish, 34%. Kane, 45%. Calvert-Lewin, 57%. So, you know, all my players seem to have this high ownership, and that's why when I have a good week, I just don't progress as high up the overall rankings as much as I'd like to. But then you have the gamble of...
You need to take risks, Rich.
Need to take risks and get people in. Well, I'm thinking ZX this week, but I just had a look there, and he's like 14% owned. So like these players are still quite high ownership. And again, I want to get Chilwell in, but he's 20-something percent owned. So I don't think it's necessarily a massive benefit getting these players in. Obviously, you want to get the highest score possible, but how do you outdo everybody else week in, week out to climb ahead of them in the table, if you know what I mean? It's a hard one to answer.
I think it's a bit of a balancing thing, because obviously within your team, you know, like I said, you're going to have the consistent performance, you know, Harry Kane, Fernandez, Salah, these players, they're always going to score goals. But I don't know, personally, sometimes I look at the fixtures and think, do you know what? They're so lowly, like low owned. I think sometimes you just got to take that gamble. Sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't. Just like me with the Pulisic. But sometimes, I remember, I think it's about seven seasons ago. And I triple captain Louis Saha.
Wow.
It was at home to, I can't remember who it was, but I just had that. Sometimes you just got a gut feeling and you think, do you know what? You just got to go for it. And he scored 4 goals. And I think he got something absolutely ridiculous, like 80 points. And I won the league in the end. So obviously I got very, very lucky. But sometimes you've got to make your own luck. And obviously you've got to stick to your premium players, like I say, because they're always going to score goals. But it happened a few times with Jimenez, I think. Obviously he's going through a bad patch at the moment. But last season, I don't think many people owned him. And then he just went on some crazy scoring run. And then everybody owned him. But if you picked him up at the beginning for those 2-3 games, it makes such a big difference. So, I don't know, sometimes I think you just gotta take a strategic, calculated risk.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking Ziyech. I think he'd be more beneficial just for the ownership reason rather than Chilwell. Because I could easily do Son to Ziyech or Robertson to Chilwell. I don't know, it's like you say, it's having a balance of high ownership players. Because, I mean, you could just, in theory, just do the average team week in, week out, and you'll have a pretty standard solid finish to the Premier League season. But, you know, you don't want that. I want to be flying. I want to beat Ben and Luke. That's the main thing.
This is a simple mantra, right? But it's worth reminding yourself, just pick the players you think are going to score the most points. Don't look at ownership. Don't look at getting players in because they're less than 5% owned. Just pick the players that are going to score the most points, because you might have 11 players that are all owned over 20%. But the amount of people that are going to own those same 11 players is going to be very, very, very low. So if all your players are doing well and you're scoring high points, you're going to go up the
true
rankings.
And I suppose then a red arrow is worse.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's 11 players, it's about, you know, like we spoke about Son and Kane being essential and affecting rank. I think there was only 27% of people that actually owned them both. So it's all about those combos. So really, Rich, there's going to be a very, very small percentage of people that own every single player that you own and that has a carbon copy of your team. So I wouldn't worry about that. The reason that you didn't go up that much in rank this week is because the average in the top 10K was like 62 and you got 68. So you need to be getting, you know, 15, 20 points above the average in order to get that bigger rank rise. And obviously the higher you get up the table, the less you're going to go up. So I personally wouldn't worry too much. Don't be getting differentials in just for the sake of getting differentials in. It's great to take risks and it's great to own those players. Like, for instance, having Bruno Fernandes this week for me with his 17 pointer really, really helped my rank. But he's still owned by over 20% of people. So just stick to the players. If you think Ziyech's going to score more than Chilwell and he's a better option, then put Ziyech in. But I think in terms of who you're picking, just pick the players you think will score.
Sometimes you just need to look at it from a simplistic point of view, really, don't you? And not overthink it.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth going, oh, I need to take more risks and I need to pick somebody that's low owned. Unless you think, like Jason said, I mean, there's definitely a school of thought. I mean, I know there's a guy on Twitter called Late Riser. I think he finished 30 in the world last season. But he's had a really bad start to the season this season. But he wrote a great article about differential captain choices, where he'll look at form, he'll look at fixtures, and then he'll look at ownership and pick a solid captain choice, but pick it based on somebody that is going to help you climb the ranks. So for instance, like a Raheem Sterling or whatever, who's less than 10% owned and he's about to play, who's he about? The City are about to play Fulham, aren't they? Or they've got good fixtures coming up.
Got
so
Burnley,
you may be
Burnley.
Going, okay, I'm going to captain Sterling here because if he bangs, and it's a solid choice, if he bangs, I'm going to go right up the ranks. So captain choice could be quite important in that respect.
All right, good. That was good. That's something off my chest. Should we move on to your wild card then?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So wild card time. I like to hold it for as long as possible normally. And ideally, I'd have liked to have held the wild card off until much later on, you know. But I think international break, it's a good time to play it. And the reason that I've done it is because I looked at my team, I mean, particularly my bench, very, very weak options. And I thought there's at least 4, 5, 6 moves that I would make if I could. So that was a reason to pull it. Also, TAA going off injured and Liverpool saying it doesn't look good. So, okay, well, I'm probably going to have to take him out. Plus, he's not scoring any points. Callum Wilson as well, who I've had in from the start, has got a hamstring injury and they're waiting for a scan on that. And apparently that doesn't look good.
He's usually out for a while, isn't he? When he gets injured.
Exactly. So I've got two injuries there already with only one free transfer. Then I've got Matt Ryan absolutely stinking out the team, who needs to go. I've just bought Saka in. I immediately want to take Saka out after that Arsenal performance. So that's 4. And then we're talking about Spurs going into a really tough run of fixtures after playing pretty tepid football. So then it's like, well, I've got Son and Kane. I probably need to take one of them out. So I was like, I'm playing the wild card, and the key for wild card is to catch the price rises of the players that you want to get in. So on the night that I pulled the trigger, I saw Chilwell was going up by 0.1 million. I immediately brought Chilwell in at 5.9. He's now gone up to 6. Last night, I saw Grealish was going to go up. I brought Grealish in. So he's just gone up in price. I've brought Bamford in, who's close to a price rise. But I might take Bamford back out. But I thought I'm interested in him, I'm going to put him in. Yeah, you don't like Bamford, do you, Ben?
Get rid. Ah, dirty leads. Dirty, dirty leads. And you know what? I think we're going to look back at the end of this season and scoff. When we think, look how many people bought in Patrick Bamford. And they were near that golden boot. I just think they're going to... I think that's it for them now. I think they're going to go off a cliff.
I disagree. I think... I disagree. I think in terms of attacking, they just love to attack. I mean, don't bring their defenders in by any means, but they just love to attack. And Bamford's on the end of loads of chances, and for 6 million, I think that's a really, really good price.
Yeah.
But for me, the main decisions are going to come down to, I've already brought Martinez in for Ryan. I think Martinez is the best value goalkeeper option with Villa's fixtures. I've brought Grealish in.
Very long.
I brought Grealish in because I think Grealish is Villa's Bruno Fernandes. I think he is involved in absolutely everything. He looks so good again against Arsenal. I think he's the best option for Villa. So I've brought him in. I think I'm going to keep James Justin, as I spoke about. I think I'm going to keep Kyle Walker-Peters, but I might change him out. My main dilemma is what to do with Kane and Son. Whether to keep those two, whether to get rid of one, whether to get rid of both for that fixture swing. And then also what to do in terms of like combinations with midfield. Like, do I stick to a 5.5 million midfielder and bring in somebody like Kevin De Bruyne and have the three premiums? I'm definitely keeping Salah and Bruno Fernandes. Or do I spread out the money a bit more and have Salah, Bruno, and say Grealish and Zaha with a Bamford or Shea Adams and Kane up front?
Yeah, there's so many options. I mean, the one you sent to, I mean, you sent us so many examples of what you want to do with your team. Let me just get into the old WhatsApp chat here and see which one it was that tickled my fancy. But I think bringing in, like you say, it's the key players who you know are going to be more than likely the ones who deliver. So like Zaha and Grealish coming in, you've got to get at least one of them in, at least one of those. But Grealish for me does a little bit more than Zaha. I mean, they won 4-1, didn't they? And I think Zaha only got an assist. And when I saw they scored 4 goals and none of them was Zaha, I was like, that's unbelievable. Whereas if Villa were to win 4-1, you can pretty much guarantee that Jack Grealish is going to get one of those goals. So you had one where you looked like you were going to bring in Elneny and Saint-Maximin with De Bruyne in midfield as well. I just think Saint-Maximin's a bit of a myth. I don't think he does anything. I think he gets the ball and he looks exciting and he likes to dribble past a few players, but then he'll fall over and do nothing with it.
Yeah, he was basically to fit De Bruyne in. So you're looking at, again, it's combinations, isn't it? So
yeah.
are Grealish and Zaha going to score more than De Bruyne and Saint-Maximin over the next 5-6 game weeks? De Bruyne would have to be doing pretty well, wouldn't he, to carry those two ahead of Zaha and Grealish. But then what do you think about Zaha, Jay? I'm not completely sold on Zaha. I think he's very inconsistent. Yeah.
He is. I mean, I've got Zaha. I transferred him last week, so he got me 5 points, got me assist. He's one of those players, he's like a rotation player for me. So I've got the Salahs, I've got Kane, I've got Calvert-Lewin. These kind of players, they're going to be my solid players, and I can't really see myself taking them out until the end of the season, to be honest with you. But people like Zaha, he's going to probably come in for 3 or 4 weeks, serve his purpose until Crystal Palace have got some difficult fixtures, and then he'll probably come out. But yeah, you're completely right, Luke, with Zaha. I'm a bit jealous that you've put in Grealish, actually, because I've been looking at him and I've been seeing, I didn't think he'd be as consistent as he has been this season, but each week he's just seemed to have just put in solid performances, which got so many points. So yeah, Zaha for me, he's one of those players where I'm just going to put him in for a few weeks, probably in the next 3 or 4 fixtures, and then he's going to come back out. But he's very inconsistent, I have to agree.
Yeah, the team that I'm worried about not owning for the next, particularly if I'm on my wild card, are Man City. Now that their fixtures turn, are they about to explode? I don't know. They've got Jesus back. I've even been looking at maybe putting in Jesus instead of Kane and keeping Son for that Spurs cover, which would be one of those risky moves that you talk about, which could massively pay off. But then I've built up a little bit of value in Kane, and I think, well, do I want Kane to just sit there now for the rest of the season, or do I want to be a bit more?
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It's
like Kane could be someone. Son, you more want to hop on and off of, whereas with Kane,
yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, and I mean, at the moment, I've got Son and Grealish in midfield. I've got Salah, Fernandes, Son, Grealish, Bamford, and Kane for my front six, which on paper looks very, very tasty indeed. I mean, Grealish is the one I want more than any. I think he's him. If I didn't have Bruno Fernandes, I'd be bringing him in as well. But Grealish in particular is the one that I want. But yes, it's that City Spurs.
Yeah. What do you think about James Rodriguez, he's coming back now. Everton.
I was just about to say this. Everton's fixtures over the next three look brilliant, don't they? Who do you play, Rich? Is it Fulham, Burnley and Leeds?
Yeah, that's it. They're the three. And Fulham, historically, we do really well against them. We haven't played Leeds in a long, long time. But Burnley look pretty poor. Like you say, Leeds don't look very good at the back. And over the last few weeks, we've missed Richarlison. And that's brought some real imbalance to our side.
And he's back.
And he's back now. And Dean's back from suspension. Hammers with this 2 weeks off as well. He should be back to full fitness. And then I think the only question of who we're missing is Coleman. And I think he was back in the game at the weekend. So, you know, we should, in theory, be back to our fully fighting fit side, who was so, you know, good at the start of the season. And Hammers, I presume, hasn't had a price rise in quite some time because he's had that knock.
He's actually due a price drop.
Oh, is he?
Which is really intriguing for me. So I think I'll wait to see if he drops. He was due a price drop last night, but it didn't happen. So I'm going to wait and see. Because if he drops 0.1, I think Grealish and Rodriguez alongside Salah and Bruno for the next three game weeks looks quality, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a strong team. Very strong.
And more people are going for Zaha and Ziyech at the moment. So bringing in James, you're purely playing the fixtures there, aren't you? And going. But do you think James could cover Calvert-Lewin for those three fixtures? Because obviously Calvert-Lewin's the man, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean Rodriguez is the man who's going to be on free kicks and corners and that sort of thing. And he's always involved in anything creative. Because, I mean, he's our best player by quite some distance now, so he's going to be heavily involved. But I mean, he played against Man United and he just didn't look particularly great. I don't know whether that was because he was still feeling the impact of his injury. I mean, I told you his injury was a swollen testicle, right? And he was playing through the pain barrier of a swollen testicle, so I wouldn't leave the house, never mind play Manchester United in the Premier League. But he should now be back to a less swollen stage, which will hopefully improve his form against Fulham, who just look like they're there for the taking.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. You've got to play those fixtures, and James has got that quality, and Everton badly need to bounce back. They've got the international break to recuperate. Yeah, I think James could be a great option. I'm also obviously looking at Calvert-Lewin. And then it's a toss-up between, I think I'm definitely going to keep a mid-priced striker. So who would you go for, boys? Toss-up between Shea Adams, Ollie Watkins, Patrick Bamford.
Yeah, I know he's done well, Watkins, but sorry, Ben, I'm still not properly convinced on Ollie Watkins. I don't know what it is. Again, though, Adams is exactly the same, but he's going to be the man for Southampton, who's going to be responsible for getting the goals, isn't he, with Ings being out. But him and Bamford, pretty closely matched, because like you said before, like, they get a lot of balls into the box. They play forward with so much pace. And at the moment, it is Bamford on the end of it. Nobody could have predicted it. I mean, he could be the Pookie of this season and just go flat on his arse for the rest of it. But you know what? He's doing all right at the moment. So I'd go Adams or Bamford. But because Southampton are in so much form, that's why I've gone with Adams.
No! Right, I'm not just saying this because I'm a Villa fan. I know Mr. Flipping fixtures today, but we've got Brighton, West Ham, Newcastle, Wolves, Burnley, West Brom and Crystal Palace. That takes us up to Boxing Day. They are the perfect fixtures for a striker like Watkins. Like him, and if you've got him and Grealish for those fixtures, I would be terrified.
I don't want triple Villa. I don't want Martinez, Grealish and Watkins. I don't want triple Villa. The thing is, you're absolutely right, Ben, but Watkins has actually only scored against Liverpool and Arsenal.
Yeah.
Against the lesser teams, he's not scored the goals, has he? And actually, I worry a little bit with Villa that you're actually better against the bigger teams this season.
Yeah, you are. That's what I was about to say. Like, I mean, didn't you lose to like Stoke in a cup or something like that as well? Yeah, you lost to Stoke. Got
Rich just literally just throwing mud at Ben. Didn't you lose to Stoke in a cup?
I know what you're saying. I think actually what happened to Villa is that we've got ourselves together. We've got a very good team. We've got a very solid start in 11. We got worked out for a couple of weeks because we're playing the same way. And actually, I think that hopefully that Arsenal game is a bit of a turnaround in the fortunes. And I think that we can power it through to Christmas. I'm not just saying that as a fan. I'm saying that objectively, that I think that they've got what it takes.
Okay, so out of Watkins, Bamford and Adams, you'd pick Watkins.
between Watkins and Adams. Danny Ings is not out forever, is he? It's a couple of weeks left and we've got the international break.
Yeah, he's meant to be back at the end of December, I think, Ings.
I think it's one of those where, again, you've got to look at long term, because it's one of those things where what I'm currently doing is, like I say, hanging on until the end of the Christmas break, and then I'm going to use my wild card in January. So it's one of them, if you think, do you know what, I don't want to use my wild card until much further onto the season, then I think you've got to strategically look at who's going to get more points over the course of the next, you know, 3 or 4 months, rather than, if it's just between now and the end of the season, then yeah, maybe I'll agree with Ben and think, do you know what, Ollie Watkins, he's absolutely on fire. And you've got to favour Aston Villa's fixtures. And then it's one of those where, exactly what you guys have just said, they seem to kind of hit the ground running against the top teams, but when it comes to the lesser teams, it's not been quite there. But it's definitely, it's a tricky one.
I mean, out of all three of them,
Che Adams,
you'd go Adams, would you? Yeah.
I'd personally go with Adams, because Ings is out for the season. This is Che Adams' chance now to prove to himself and to everyone else that he's a top striker.
It's a great goal he scored against Newcastle, wasn't it? What a goal.
Like him. He's young as well.
Theo Walcott with the assist.
Is Ings out for that
end
long?
End of the year, I think he's out till. Not end of the season.
Yeah, he's out for a while. Yeah.
Right.
Jay, you were shouting Walcott, weren't you, a few weeks ago?
If you actually look at his stats when he was at Arsenal, when he played, he did produce.
He's got a lot of goals.
A lot of assists and a lot of goals. So, and he's cheap as well. So it's one of those, what I was going back to earlier, where you've got your premium player. Someone like Theo Walcott, I was looking at, where no one's going to, I mean, I'd be interested to see how many people's got him, but hardly anyone would have him. He's got a very low percentage. And I think he's going to get a few assists and a few goals between now and the end of the season. And he's going to play as well.
Yeah, he's out of position striker. Yeah, and he's a midfielder in the game. Could be an option. I just think he's just too much of a risk for me. At his price, I think Chilwell, who's actually cheaper than Walcott, is going to be a better option. But you know, he is one of those players that could score a hat trick. Walcott is capable of that, but I think you'd have to be quite lucky. What about? There's been quite a lot of love for João Cancelo at City.
I like the look of him.
What about bringing in Cancelo for those fixtures? He's 5.4 million.
Yeah, but I mean, when you think of Man City, you don't think clean sheets at all, do you? And you know, obviously you're thinking of attacking returns for their players. But if you're picking a defensive option, you've got to think there's got to be a chance of getting a clean sheet as well. But he does get forward and he loves a cross.
Well, I think they've kept like quite a few clean sheets, haven't they? They've kept the most in the league.
Not been good enough for me though. They need more.
I love that. That was the best answer you've ever given, Rich.
Haven't Wolves got the most clean sheets? I thought Wolves had the most clean sheets.
Let me have a look.
Before this weekend, Wolves may have had the most
clean sheets. Sorry, yeah, Rich, you are right. Rich, you're right. City have only kept 2 clean sheets. See? Sorry, I apologise. I thought they'd kept more than that. But having said that, they have only conceded 3 goals in their last 5 games.
I'll give them that.
So I think the clean sheets could come, and obviously Cancelo's got... to be honest, I don't think I'm going to bring Cancelo in, but there's been a lot of love for him in the community, so I thought I'd mention his potential attacking returns as well as those nice fixtures.
Are you going to wait until days before the deadline to do your wild card, or are you going to do it before the international break?
Oh no, I've already activated it, yeah, to catch those price rises.
Okay, sound.
Yeah. Already activated it. Yeah. So I've already brought in Chilwell to get his price rise. I've brought in Grealish to get a price rise. Bamford as well, but Bamford might change, of course, but with the wild card, it's good if you're gonna play it. Pull that trigger on Sunday evening or Saturday evening, whenever,
100%.
so you can catch the price rises of the players that you want to bring in. Or if there's a player, say, that you think will go up twice in price and you can make 0.1 million in, bring them in and then sell them on for a profit. That's key with the wild card. So yeah, so I activated it Sunday night. Immediately brought Chilwell in. I've brought Martinez in. I've changed my bench around a bit as well. I've actually brought in Nico Williams of Liverpool because he's 3.9 million.
Oh, yeah.
So that saves me money. And Alexander Arnold's out, of course. So he could potentially play a few games there and maybe be a nice option on the bench.
Sounds, should we wrap things up then? What are we going into? Game week 9, is it? Yeah, game week 9. Remember, any questions, tweet us at TripleCaptain3. Luke is the man who has the notifications on his phone for Triple Captain. So any questions, put them towards him. Quick one then, lads. Who is the big C going on this week?
I think I'm going to get Kane out and get Vardy in, put the captain's armband on Vardy for the next few weeks.
Bold decision. Very bold.
Well, like Jason said, you've got to take a few gambles. You've got to keep this game interesting.
I've gone for Fernandes. I've gone for my free hit. It may change because I'm just looking at my team now and I'm thinking it could easily change. I've got Rodriguez in there as well. They're playing Fulham away. So, yeah, I've gone for Bruno as my captain. So we'll see.
What about you, Luke?
Yeah, I'm on Bruno as well. But as we know with United, they struggle against teams that make it hard to break them down. So an early goal is vital in that one for United. If it stays 0-0 at half time, I'd be very concerned. So it is a little bit of a risk, but Bruno does stand out as the best captain option. Don't think I should think too much into that. So Bruno's my man. What about you, Rich?
I think I'm going to keep it on Harry Kane. I think Manchester City, as we discussed before, aren't the best defence in the league. So I'm going to keep it on Harry Kane. I think he could get a goal or two against Manchester City. I think it'll be one of them games. Mourinho will come into his own.
Big shout. I disagree. I think City will win comfortably and keep clean
sheet. Okay. We'll get back together next week on that and see how it goes.
I can see it being a 0-0, I can't see there being goals. I think Mourinho is just going to shut up shop. I can see it being very, very defensively. Very defensively.
So that wraps us up for the international break. I hope listening to this helps to quell the loss of Premier League football this weekend. Are we going to do a little 15-20 minute preview of game week 9 just before, just in case of injuries and all that kind of stuff? Yeah. And I'll
we always say that. We're like, let's do a little 15-20 minute, and 40 minutes later we're still talking.
Hopefully we'll keep it short for right before game week 9, where I will reveal my full wildcard team.
Jace?
Yeah, Jay, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Cheers, guys.
And enjoy, everybody.
Best of luck.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together and now they think maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal training session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
It's all
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all lost, progress. which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born, so we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.